Good morning, everybody. Tuesday, Football Scoop Podcast is back. Full staff, Scott Roussel, Zach Barnett, John Bryce, Doug Samuels, college football experts, the run of them. Gentlemen, it's great to see everybody. I know we weren't all on Sunday. Not always available. Some people go to Hawaii.
Some people swim laps.
It happens. There's things that happen in life. What I was hoping we'd do today, Tuesday, we haven't gotten to Thursday. We're not to the games yet. Well, actually, we've got Wednesday football this week. Let's talk some underappreciated, underrecognized, undervalued gems, you might say. Some coaches who aren't in the limelight that maybe deserve to be. I've mentioned in the past, I think Charlie Weiss Jr. is one of those guys. Obviously overshadowed by Lane, right? All eyes on Lane. Every story coming out of Ole Miss, out of Oxford is Lane. Pete Golding gets some due. But not many other guys in that staff really get much attention. And Charlie's the guy who's just grinding and coming up with new ideas, implementing, executing, calling, switching quarterbacks midseason and, you know, having, you know, undefeated and, you know, island time and everybody's loving the offense. Charlie Weiss Jr. is a guy who deserves a little credit. Who else comes to mind, gentlemen, that might be helping their team thrive this year and maybe might even position themselves for new opportunities in the future? Doug, I might come to you first. Who you got? Who comes to mind?
You stole the one right out of my mouth and Charlie Weiss. Like, that's a no-brainer at this point. And that's all right. Trindad's my guy. But I also had the opportunity to hear Charlie Weiss speak, and he's obviously lived in his dad's shadow his whole life and is now like kind of starting to break out of that, it feels like. But heard him speak at the Grand Rapids Clinic here a couple of years ago, and he's right up there as one of the most impressive clinic speakers I've ever heard. Right up there with Jason Mons, now the tight ends coach at Arizona State. Like, just absolutely captivated the room, super knowledgeable. So he is near the top of the list there. And just to have an undersized former Division II quarterback come in and step in and lead teams to wins in the SEC is super impressive. So Charlie Weiss was on that list for me. I'm going to go two of the other ones. I think Baylor's hire of Jake Spavital has proven to be very, very smart. Now, I think his second full year coordinating the offense, and they've had to win some shootouts. They have owned explosive plays. They're number one in explosive plays of 10-plus yards. Top 20, I think, in plays of 20 plus yards, and top 10 in plays of 30 plus yards. So explosive plays, Zach wrote about the turnover margin being super important. Offensive and defensive coaches will also understand that explosive plays are right up there with the turnover margin. If you can get explosive plays, that is critical as well. And then I think Joey McGuire, we would be remiss to not include Shiel Wood and Mac Leftwich, both top 10 in scoring on both sides of the ball. That is super rare to do. And for Shiel Wood to completely come in and turn around the narrative around Texas Tech being an offensive school and being a defensive school, I know we've talked about that before. That is a really, really hard thing to change the DNA of a program. And I think Joey McGuire and Shiel Wood deserve a ton of credit for that.
Love those. Doug, let me ask you a question. You said that Charlie is one of the most captivating clinic speakers you've seen. What makes you say that? Is it his presence? Is it his delivery? Is it his just depth of knowledge? Are we talking X's and O's, or what made you say that?
For me, it's hard to be captivated by a guy that hasn't got a ton of football playing experience. That's just it's how I'm wired. It's how I've always been. So for me, I think I expected Charlie Weiss to come in as just kind of a, you know, dorky X's and O's guy that I would have a hard time following. And he won me over, I think, really with depth of knowledge. And he was also speaking about something that we were interested in kind of moving to. So his depth of knowledge was off the charts, could speak about every position, which not a lot of young guys can do that. So I think those two things, depth of knowledge and just knowing everything involved in the offense, won me over. And I went in there with pretty low expectations, and I was blown away.
Good stuff. All right, gentlemen, Zach, you want to go next? Who you got?
I have three. One was going to be Shieldwood, but I was going to bring him up with a disclaimer that he feels almost too obvious. But just to put some numbers on what they've done. Last year, Texas Tech was 123rd in yards per play. This year, they're sixth. They currently lead the country in stop rate, which I feel like is pretty good, in my opinion. And you could say, well, of course they're doing really well. They went out and purchased a defensive line in the portal, and they most certainly did. But it seems like we've seen more examples of teams trying to go out and purchase all-star teams and those teams playing below their paper for one reason or another. And that has not been the case at Texas Tech. Getting those guys on campus is just part of the mission. They've gotten them to buy into their roles. They've got the other players that they retained to buy into their roles. And they seem to be getting better as they continue to play. And then another, Jacob Rodriguez is a guy that has been on campus for 4 years now and is playing like a Butkus Award favorite, if not a finalist. So they've done a really good job there at Texas Tech. I'm not breaking any news there. But on that same front, I'm going to shout out Skylar Cassidy, defensive mm-hmm. coordinator at North Texas. Just got there in December from Sam Houston. They were absolutely atrocious going back through the 2020s. Last year, 107th in yards per play. This year, they're 23rd. Last year, 119th in scoring. This so far, they're 47. They're giving up 20 points a game, which – if you have Eric Morris's offensive ability, 20 points a game might as well be zero. You basically start every game with 20 points on the scoreboard. They're not good against the run. They're continuing to be bad. They're 116th last year, 116th so far this season, but they're outstanding against the pass. Last year, 105th. This year, 9th. Last year, they gave up 8.1 yards per attempt. This year, 5.4. You go back to 2021, their high watermark in pass efficiency was 97th. Right now they're 9th. So it's been a complete overhaul. He of course brought a lot of players with him from Sam Houston. He's been a fast riser through the coaching profession. And if North Texas continues to play defense anywhere close to what they did in August and September, North Texas isn't going to keep him for long. And then the other one I wanted to bring up is with apologies, but I wanted to make sure he gets mentioned. He's a guy that, John's brought up is Drew Kronick, offensive coordinator at Navy. This past week, Blake Horvath set a single game record for total offense by a Navy player with 469 yards, threw for 339, which is the most by a Navy quarterback in 30 years. So being able to scheme up open shots down the field for Navy, of course, no one's going to see that coming. Be able to actually execute it, go 20 of 26 through the air. That's an impressive game for sure.
Amen. JB, who comes to mind when we talk about underrecognized, underappreciated, potential gems?
You know, did you make me go third as penance for missing on Sunday? Because these guys are making all these great points and in the process just sniping my guys. I feel like I'm playing freaking Duck Hunt. Yeah, you got to be old to know Nintendo Duck Hunt, but I'm old. I love the Chronic mention and Mac Leftwich. Those were two that I treated this like Zach treated what we were supposed to do with one team that may overachieve and one that may underachieve. But you didn't specify one of each. You were like some coaches. So I felt we could have a pool of coaches today, not that we were turning an either or test into multiple choice. But anyway. I love the Chronic discussion. I'll be stunned if he's not a Broyles Award finalist. I'll be stunned if he doesn't have head coaching opportunities. I've got two head coaches that I want to shout out that I think the jobs they're doing this year are a little underappreciated. And I was certainly a major skeptic of one of them this year, and that being Scott Satterfield at Cincinnati. Let's remember and be really candid that last December, if Cincinnati could have scraped together about $15 to $17 million, who would be coaching Cincinnati right now? We don't know, but that's facts. That's direct from people in the Cincinnati community. So him, the other one is Tony Elliott. Like, he's from the LA area. I don't know why UCLA isn't already telling him overtly, we will throw the bag at you. Like, come to UCLA, come home. I know he went to college at Clemson. I know he's been on this side of the country. but he's from the LA area. So I wanted to bring those two up immediately. I've got a couple of defensive coordinators and a couple of offensive coordinators I want to talk about. Defensive coordinator, especially after he was chased out of his last place, Colin Hitchler at James Madison. What he's doing is phenomenal. They're number four in defensive average yards per play. James Madison looks like it will be one of those teams factoring in at the end of the year to potentially be a group of five playoff team. Another one that I would point out is Robert Arich, the defensive coordinator at San Diego State. They're really, really good. But probably the biggest one for me in the group of defensive coordinators is Corey Batoon at Missouri. And I really think he's a guy that could make some noise and be a guy that could emerge as a head coaching candidate if he wants to be. You know, right now, some of these Power 5, Power 4 conference coordinator positions are better than what the head coaching positions are. And we've seen guys in recent years leave a good place like South Alabama, like Kane Womack did, to go be an assistant coach. So those are a couple of those are three of the guys on the defensive side of the ball that I had in mind. That's kind of where I am overall on that. I really like the Leftwich mention. I don't know how we can have this podcast without talking about Ben Arbuckle at Oklahoma, and especially if they win the Red River Shootout this weekend. Like, Oklahoma for the first time truly looks like a complete team under Brent Venables. Now, this is a huge test this coming weekend, and they get a wounded steer, not a longhorn right now, but they get a wounded steer.
I'll tell you who
someone team else. Go ahead, JB.
I thought you were going to get to this guy, JB. You're talking about defensive coordinators, maybe in the group of five type world. Jordan Hankins at Memphis. Memphis, you know, Silverfield started to get some due and getting some notice. You know, he's not even in that underappreciated right now. He's getting his recognition. But Jordan, a D comes to play and you know, they get picked over a little bit for their talent. Their talent gets bought and goes away, and he's got to reload. And he just finds some dudes, and he plays – they play simple, and they play attack. And it's like, can we hang in there long enough with the Power Four guys? And they find ways, you know? Memphis, pretty impressive what he's done there, I think. And he's been – you know, he did it at Marshall, been at Memphis – moved from special teams coordinator, linebacker, as defensive coordinator, just stepped up and just keeps that program in a good spot.
And he's not a young guy, and you've been very keen with your insight on him, Scott, but Jerry Kill might be as underrated as anybody in college football right now.
The most underrated program builder in the history of college football. I think I said it last year on social media, like that. There's no question. He's on that category.
Jerry's unbelievable. Yeah. Jerry is beloved, unless he just keeps beating your team, then you don't love him. But in the coaching profession, people just they bow to him because he's that deserving.
Yeah, but on that Vanderbilt staff, real quickly, I would also point to Nick Lozinski. Clark Lee brought him with him from Notre Dame. He's climbed through the ranks now. He's helping run the defense. Obviously, Clark Lee, kind of like Mike Elko, you're going to associate the head coach with the defense. But Lozinski is one of those guys that's a P4 coordinator for sure.
Zach, what were you saying?
I'm doing some real quick math right here because I want to make a Jerry Kill point. And okay, so Jerry Kill will be in the College Football Hall of Fame, deserves to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. I just ran the numbers. He's 175 and 115, which is a 603 winning percentage. 600 is the minimum. So I was going to make an argument that we need to just create like a ball coach Hall of Fame because, I mean – you give Jerry Kill one of these top jobs and he would do great with it, but he never had the top jobs. But fortunately, he's won enough to win his way into the regular College Football Hall of Fame, which is where he'll deserve to be when his time comes. Another coach I wanted to bring up is Danny Gonzalez, defensive coordinator at Arizona. He was the special teams linebackers coach last season. Dwayne Aquino moved on to Texas. He got promoted. It's been night and day. For them out there, they were in the hundreds in most numbers right now. They're top 10. They've defended. They're the only team in college football so far yet to defend, yet to allow a touchdown pass. They've intercepted seven passes, yet to allow a touchdown pass, defended 150 of them. They've given that team a chance to compete in the rough and tumble Big 12. And Danny Gonzalez has done an absolutely great job.
In the ball is ball category, one guy I had kind of in my honorable mention list is a former football scoop coordinator of the year at the Division III level. Vince Karras has Toledo as a top 10 in scoring defense right now. I was just looking up. I think they're top 25 and getting off the field at third down. So former football scoop, I think multiple time coordinator of the year. Winner at the D3 level has been with Toledo and Jason Candle for a number of years, knows the Ohio recruiting landscape as good as anyone. Obviously, the son of Larry Karras, the head coach at Mount Union for a long, long time, who started his career as the school swim coach. Little known fact there. But Vince has done a really nice job with Toledo, and they continue to kind of own the MAC. And they haven't had an easy schedule. They opened with Kentucky. They had to play Western Kentucky that puts up a ton of points. They have not had an easy schedule. So for them to be top 10 nationally in a number of categories and top 25 and a bunch of others, it's the tip of the cap to them.
Doug, were you saying Larry or Vince was the swim coach?
Larry started off as the school swim coach. Yeah, just like Brian Kelly started off as a softball coach at Anna Maria, I think, in Massachusetts. As their, at one point, was their all-time winner in softball wins.
And if I'm not mistaken, Butch Jones coached tennis at Ferris State at one point.
That seems like an article or a conversation right there. Maybe I need to start digging into.
Yeah,
or maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah,
or
maybe. Yeah. And
one more, Corey Sanders at Pitt. When you look at the way that secondary played, especially last weekend, and they just keep developing good dudes. They sign a bunch of 3-stars every year. They don't sign very many 4-stars whatsoever at Pitt on either side of the ball, but they sign a bunch of 3-stars and they develop them. And especially in the back end, there's a bunch of Pitt dudes. Everybody knows Hamlin because of his miraculous story, but there's a bunch of Pitt dudes all over the NFL, and there's more NFL players this year in that Pitt secondary. And they just made Boston College submit over the weekend. Big test this weekend. A lot more people will know Corey Sanders' name if they can stymie Florida State, also a wounded group right now.
Speaking of the ACC, there's this new coach, this Belichick guy, done a great job. They played Clemson within 28.
He's the other category, Zach. That's another most overrated. I don't know if we're allowed to do that, but he would be the poster boy.
Good stuff, gentlemen. I enjoyed this. To me, that's a great podcast. With that, we shut it down. We will be back Thursday, if not before. We might come in with a couple of special things in between. Stay tuned. We're the Football Scoops staff. We're out.